Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 18th day of December, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Call. And I guess given that we're entering a week where a whole lot of people just plain don't understand what the Bible really says, and somehow or other, whether they know it or not, have managed to start worshiping a whole different God than the one that wrote the book and then came to deliver us from those who would tell us that the book doesn't matter anymore, and we rewrote it in favor of other gods we like better that we've created in our own image, I guess this is a good story to start off with today. At least it's illustrative. Oh, yeah. And it also sets the stage because a whole lot of the news today is going to upset a lot of people. And that, folks, is precisely as it should be. But be forewarned, I guess you could say those with itching ears aren't going to find them scratched here. From LifeSite News, and also something called a Declaration Fiducia Supplicans, issued without warning on December 18th by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith of the official, universal, and only Roman Catholic Church, by the prefect of that thing, Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, along with Pope Satan, it includes a new text that allows for, quote, blessings for couples in irregular situations and couples of the same sex, which some might think would be in contradiction of the, quote, unchangeable Catholic teaching, says LifeSite News, that the church can't really bless sinful relationships. Well, folks, if you remember your history, that's not been true for centuries. Says the story here, the text seeks to open the door officially for the Catholic clergy to provide blessings for same-sex couples, along with the norms outlined by the cardinal unto Pope Satan, something which they note runs in opposition to constant Catholic teaching, and, they capitalize this, sacred scripture. Now, don't forget, scripture says that a man lying with a man as with a woman, the Creator calls it abomination. It's the strongest condemnation word in the Hebrew language. And it even carries a death penalty, folks. Don't believe me on that score. Look it up for yourselves. But I can't help but think, hey, if they can bless abominations, why not other things that Scripture forbids? Surely they can bless thieves and oath breakers and those who bear false witness. Hell, why not murderers? Oh, wait a minute. They did. They're called indulgences. I guess Solomon was right. There really is nothing new under the sun. Here's one of the quotes from Cardinal Fernandez, in these cases, meaning homosexuals and couples in irregular situations, a blessing is imparted that not only has ascending value, but is also the invocation of a descending blessing from God Himself on those who, recognizing themselves to be destitute and in need of His help, blah-de-blah-de-blah, well, basically, they turn to, what else? The one true Catholic and therefore universal Roman Church. And I guess, folks, I have to put it this way because I am going to be blunt on this score. The hell with what Scripture says. The cardinal also noted that from a strictly liturgical point of view, a blessing requires what is blessed be conformed to God's will. Well, gee, what does that mean? Here he's going to tell you. As expressed in the teachings of the church, unquote. And with no offense to those who were raised Catholic, and I was not personally, folks, but I have those in my family who were, and I've seen it firsthand for decades at this point, I'll state up front that there is a real chasm here. And the problem is, do we worship the same God? And did He write a book? Or did He put some man, and I'm not talking about the Mashiach, because the Pope, as you perhaps know, claims to be the vicar of Christ and therefore able to override whatever he wrote down or said in his word, and that is official dogma. There are conditions, of course, but once he speaks, doesn't matter what God Himself wrote in the book. And that's why, of course, you peons out there, you laity, can't possibly interpret and read Scripture correctly without at least a priest to help you. One of theirs, not a Cohen, of course. And essentially, folks, it boils down to this. Now, again, let me say this. I have lots of people that are Catholics that are friends and loved ones, but we literally come from different postulates, different understandings of what really is the supreme harbinger and definition of truth. Either it's His word as written, or it's what some man in a funny robe with a fish hat on says he should have written if he was as smart as they are. And I'm not kidding. There really is no in-between. As Lewis Carroll once wrote, tongue-in-cheek, but I quote it frequently, it's about who is to be master, that is all. And if man can rewrite his word, folks, and we've been seeing it a lot of late, haven't we? This is where we end up. Let me quote one more line from this piece from a very Catholic organization, LifeSite News. The cardinal also claimed that a person who asks a blessing, quote, shows himself to be in need of God's saving presence in his life, and one who asks for a blessing from the church, my emphasis there, folks, recognizes the latter, i.e. the church, as a sacrament of the salvation that God offers, unquote. In other words, and let me be as blunt as I need to be, ask and ye shall receive. That language actually is in the book, in red, from the Messiah. Just make sure you don't ask amiss. In other words, and this admittedly would be your host's opinion based on my reading of Scripture. Your mileage may vary, but here it is. If you're going to ask, ask the right God. And in your host's opinion, do it in accord with his word as written, not what men say he should have written. Because as this story makes pretty blankety blank and clear, and certainly not for the first time, that can and does change. You know what, folks? This reminds me of the famous line from the beginning of Fiddler on the Roof, where somebody asks their beloved rabbi, is there a proper blessing for the Tsar? And the rabbi thinks about it for a second and says, and I'll paraphrase it in modern terminology, may God bless and keep the Biden Führer far away from us. Which brings me to the second story today, actually second collection of stories, all of which indicate that when lawlessness abounds, and gee, I think that was written in the book somewhere too. Yeah, check out Matthew chapter 24. We get people to put their hands on the Bible and lie. We get a law that isn't worth the paper it was printed on, and a constitution for that matter, that is nothing but a GD piece of paper, as a former traitor in the White House once put it. But come to think of it, he does look increasingly honest compared to the traitors and criminals and Biden Führers that have ruled in his stead since, whether they're senile or not. And in a way, I've already introduced some of these stories, but let me just kind of reintroduce them at this point. We've laid the groundwork today. You recall at the end of last week that the first crackhead, Hunter Biden, and I don't want to sell him short, he's also really big. It would seem into whoring and sex trafficking and getting bennies from the big guy. Whether or not the big guy is actually on the official payroll or just takes a little bit off the top. I guess that's one of the nice things about taking bribes, if you're above the law. Well, over the weekend, another one of George Soros' traitors, you know some of the names, Letitia James, Jack Smith, and let's not forget Heels in the Air Harris, and pick a DA from most of the big leftist cesspool cities. Anyway, perhaps the worst of the worst of that disgustingly sick sordid group, Letitia James herself, came right out and said it. The law doesn't mean shit anymore, and it certainly only applies to you peons who are under the law. But as for the rest of us, those who are part of what George Carlin correctly said was that big club, and you ain't in it, well, we're above the law. Don't you forget it, or we'll trump your ass, too. And not only, folks, have they been doing it, they're happy about it, they're proud of it, and they're rubbing your nose in it. Here is her most recent quote. And you'd better hear it, yep, right from the horse's you-know-what. And no, I'm not going to promise not to interrupt and comment when appropriate. But I am going to include every word.
After 11 weeks in court, we rested our case against Donald Trump, the Trump Organization, and other defendants. We brought this case after our four-year investigation revealed
exactly what we rigged it to reveal.
Four-year investigation revealed that Donald Trump committed repeated and persistent fraud and unjustly enriched himself, his family, and his business.
Who does he think he is, anyway? Part of the crime family that funds us? You want to take bribes and rub people's noses in it? Your name had better be Biden. Or at least you better have the right sexual orientation and not be pale or male.
Before this trial even began, the judge ruled in our favor.
Whoa, wait, just a blankety blankin' Bennett. Did she really just come right out and say that?
Before this trial even began, the judge ruled in our favor.
Yeah, hell, we don't need no stinking trial. We knew the answer before we even started it. Matter of fact, 4 years ago, when this guy was first allowed to take office over our rigging of the 2016 election, we were already working on this. You have any doubts on that score at this point, folks? They are not even trying to hide. The fact that the rule of law doesn't mean squat. They'll just change it on a whim. And evidence? Hell, we'll make that up. Or if we need to deep six a laptop, we got at least 50 or so traitors in various national security and other so-called intelligence agencies that'll sign letters. And CNN and MSNBC and all the other criminally negligent networks will pretend that it's real news and slam it down your throats. Year after year after year, until you believe it, or just give up trying to fight it.
Before this trial even began, the judge ruled in our favor.
What we want you to know is that in the future, we won't even bother with that little bit of kangaroo court formality. Who cares? We don't need evidence. We don't need a trial. We own the crooked judges. We certainly haven't bothered with a genuine jury of your peers or trial by jury for decades.
Before this trial even began, the judge ruled in our favor and found that Donald Trump did engage in years of significant financial fraud we uncovered.
And since there were no injured parties, how do you know it was actually fraud? Because we say so. And that's enough for you, you scumbag peons. You MAGA deplorables, we're coming for you next. Don't you forget it. And we don't need evidence there either.
Throughout this trial, we revealed the full extent of that fraud. We introduced extensive evidence and questioned more than 24 witnesses.
Hell, we even let the so-called defense try to introduce evidence and witnesses. But when we didn't like what they said, we just ignored that. And I'm not going to tell you about it now either.
We heard from Donald Trump and his family, his co-defendants, his current and former employees at the Trump Organization, his accountants and associates at a financial institution, loan underwriters, real estate professionals, and experts.
Now let me pause right there, folks, because that statement is a bald-faced, absolute, unbelievably disgusting lie. Because the testimony, the cross-examination, and the revelations that some of them are lying under oath, and the so-called judge wouldn't know what real estate valuation is if they came and took his house, I guess now he doesn't have to worry about that, proved that the whole thing should have been dismissed and that the kangaroo case was nothing but a fraud from the get-go, and everybody there knew it, but it didn't matter.
Their testimony illustrated years of fraud and baseless valuations to inflate Donald Trump's network. And we showed that Donald Trump's financial statements were used to get better loan terms, tax breaks, and a host of other economic benefits.
Yeah, let me say it again. Just who the hell does he think he is? Hunter Biden? This honky doesn't have the right connections to make that claim with the deep state.
Next month, we will return to court to present our closing argument.
Doesn't matter what we say, that cracker's already guilty, and you already know how it's going to come out, don't you?
I'm confident in our case, and that justice will prevail.
Because justice, folks, is whatever the hell we say it is. Nothing more, nothing less, and don't you MAGA deplorables out there forget it. Because we already know where you live, and we got all the evidence we need by those illegal wiretaps, and two Facebook and X tweets, and email traces, and Apple listening devices, and geolocation data, and everything else we need to put your white asses where they belong. Uh-oh, did that sound just a bit racist, folks? Oh, well, let me just take a quick segue here and play another bit of another Letitia James clip for you that will bring that point home, too. This woman is a racist with a capital R, a bigot with a capital B, and a witch with a capital B, too. And I'm being too kind. And I'll admit it, folks, people like this really make me want to vomit. But like it or not, this is what now passes for the rule of law in this country. It is bigoted, it is evil, it is one-sided, and it is two-faced to the core. And we better face it, because it may very well already be too late. Here's a clip with a tip of the hat to Alex Jones for retrieving this one and making sure we don't forget that makes it clear. That demonstrates this bigot was out to do precisely this, and that was why she was slammed into the position in the criminally evil state of New York to do exactly what she was put there to do. Communist Soros puppet, racist, anti-rule of law bigot that she is.
Stand up to an administration which is too male, too pale, and too stale.
This is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
And if it sounds next like she's channeling Senator Palpatine, a.k.a. the evil emperor from Star Wars, you're probably paying attention.
No matter how powerful you think you are, or how much money you think you have,
we can take it away from you, and we will.
No matter how powerful you think you are, or how much money you think you have, everyone is equal under the law.
Some of us are just more equal than others.
Everyone is equal under the law, even Donald Trump.
That rich white honky cracker SOB. And we're showing him, you better watch and be afraid, be very afraid, because you're next. And how bad is it getting to be, folks? How over the top, how in your face is the destruction of the rule of law? Well, it was so bad that over the weekend, even CNN and their disgusting so-called legal analyst actually came out and said it. This does look like a politically motivated prosecution. And I guess, folks, it does look like we've set the precedent. And if you've got half a brain, you can guess what's coming next. Which leads me to recap now several related stories I've been talking about since at least late last month. But the fact that it is finally being talked about, more or less openly, outside of the usual socialist media suspects, is important, even if the information will sound familiar. As Leah Holman puts it in his Substack, have you ever dared to vote for Donald Trump? Have you ever posted a comment on any socialist media platform that was even remotely favorable towards Trump? Well, you're probably then, and you knew this, didn't you, on some FBI website or internal document. According to an October 4 report in Newsweek, the, quote, federal government believes that the threat of violence and major civil disturbance around the 2024 U.S. presidential election is so great that it has quietly created a new category of extremists. Now, I've talked about this before, but I guess it's nice to see even some of the leftist rags starting to say, have they gone a bit too far? No, folks, that's not the point here. And while that might be what you're supposed to think, stay tuned. This new category of extremists, they continue, that it seeks to track and to counter Donald Trump's army of MAGA followers. Notice the term army, says Holman. There's a sinister purpose behind that word. Big Brother, i.e. the government, in cooperation with its corporate public-private partners at Newsweek, are trying to paint a picture of an organized military force ready to go to war with Trump as its leader. And as a member, he says, of the conservative movement in America, I can tell you that it is, in fact, the most unorganized, disjointed, and fragmented movement in the country. It's not in any way monolithic, and as such poses no threat to the government or anyone else. But this is who, and here he makes a big mistake. He says the word our in this sentence, our government, and don't kid yourself, folks, this government has nothing to do with either being ours or even remotely constitutional in nature. Well, that government has targeted us for monitoring and tracking. They're not worried, he says, about the army of Chinese men of military age pouring over the open border at a rate of 2,000 to 4,000 per month under the Biden Führer. They're not worried about Iranian sleeper cells. They're not worried about, you know, all the other names, the Taliban, Hamas, MS-13, the drug cartels. They give them weapons and then blame you for them. No, they're worried about American citizens on Team Trump who want to see their candidate in the White House or anybody else that will say no to Big Brother. And all of that is forbidden. It's just that there aren't any really other high-profile viable candidates, even remotely, saying something against the establishment, regardless of which wing of the bird of prey they flap for. Here's a blurb, says Holman from the article. The challenge for the Federal Bureau of Instigation, they spelled it wrong, the primary federal agency charged with law enforcement, what a crock, is to pursue and prevent what it calls domestic terrorism without direct reference to political parties or affiliations, even though we all know exactly which political party and communist affiliations they really are pushing for. And, says Holman, even though the vast majority of its current so-called anti-government investigations are of Trump supporters, according to classified data obtained by Newsweek, said a current FBI official who supposedly requested anonymity to discuss the highly sensitive internal matters, quote, the FBI is in an almost impossible position, unquote. Yeah, folks, how do you hide the fact that you were involved in a coup 60 years ago this month, and that's only the beginning of your perfidy? Or maybe better put, the beginning of the middle of your perfidy, while still pretending that somehow or other you are law enforcement. The FBI source told Newsweek, or so they say, that the agency, get this, must preserve the constitutional right of all Americans to campaign, to speak freely, and protest the government. Did he really come right out and try to get anybody to actually believe that? As it holds its nose and begrudgingly grows through the motions of, as Holman puts it, preserving any of our rights. The article says Holman, and I guess you probably conclude your host would agree, is a laughingstock, pure propaganda, but they're not even good at creating propaganda because nobody with half of a working brain still believes the FBI has any respect for the Constitution or even aspects of the rule of law. That's the very same agency, after all, that threatened to investigate parents attending school board meetings and traditional Catholics who attend Latin masses. This is the same FBI that breaks down the doors of unarmed senior citizens like Roger Stone, he includes a picture, and arrested elderly women praying in front of abortion clinics, etc., etc., etc. By focusing on Trump and his MAGA supporters, the FBI official claimed, the Bureau runs the risk of provoking the very anti-government activists that the terrorism agencies claim they hope to counter. And that, folks, is unmitigated, no, not laughingstock crap, but total BS. Why? Because, let's be clear here, I don't think there's any doubt about what they intend to do, and that is to provoke the very same civil war that they're going to claim through what Holman correctly describes as their crocodile tears, oh so unconvincingly, that they hope to avoid by pushing and poking and provoking and jailing and terrorizing the very people that actually still believe in truth, justice, and the American way, at least until the FBI completely puts a wooden stake in it. Some even grew up watching Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., and it took them a while to figure out that was a total crock way back then. Says Holman, yeah, they're still trying to at least pretend like they have constitutional boundaries within which they can conduct their Gestapo operations on American soil, violate households under cover of darkness, force their victims into black SUVs, and then hand them off in handcuffs and leg irons to the American gulag where they await their Soviet-style show trials. Their crime? Orwell had this right, too. These Americans are anti-government in their thinking. And says Holman, unless there's a new category of crime actually passed by Congress, and by the way, if they did, folks, it would be anti-constitutional, the thought crime, as it is rightfully called, and while they're working on it, they really don't have one in place yet, they got pre-crime, though, and speech crimes is no crime at all, because it is not yet a crime to be anti-government, especially, folks, when the government itself is anti-constitutional. And he puts it this way, any government that prosecutes any of its citizens for being so-called anti-government is by nature tyrannical because people living under a legitimate constitutional republican form of government would have no reason to be anti-government. They would in fact think, hey, that's what the founders tried to put in place, a government that would try to secure the rights given to us by our creator. This Newsweek article, he concludes, was perhaps the most pathetic psyop disguised as a news article I've ever seen. Its purpose was not to inform, but to intimidate while presenting a facade of respect for constitutional rights that they truly, and you can see through the facade, detest. This is exactly, he said, why the FBI should never have been created in the first place. If we had a constitution, folks, they couldn't have been. Our founding fathers would have rolled over in their graves, no doubt that's true, at the very thought of a national police force or, as they put it, a standing army. Even if it started out with a mission that focused on legitimate federal crimes like foreign terrorists or, can you imagine this, treason, who infiltrated America, any freedom-respecting constitutionalist could have predicted, with even a modicum of common sense, much less historical understanding, that it would one day be weaponized and turned against the domestic political opponents of the overpowered elite. That, he says, is why I am of the belief, and by the way, your host obviously concurs, that if we had a constitution, the FBI would never have been formed, but at this point, should simply be defunded, permanently disbanded. And if you want a test, a litmus test, for any member of Congress or an administration or even the bureaucracy, if they don't get that, they got no business being anywhere close to the swamp or the center of power, such as it is, but it was never supposed to be. And by the way, you don't even need to be armed in order to be a totally, strictly investigative agency. Adds Leo Holman. Quick aside here, folks. Does anybody not want to laugh when they hear terms like Federal Bureau of Investigation? Can you recall any time of late when the FBI has actually gone in and done something like an investigation as opposed to, say, stealing computers, videos, and making damn sure that they were locked down so that they, especially if they were incriminating of those in power and pulling their strings, never saw the light of day? Why, remember what happened to those other videos out of Las Vegas that you never saw? Or what, you forgot? Yeah, that makes the point. If there was a real reason for an FBI, they could do the investigations, then turn that information over, as the Constitution intended, to state and local law enforcement, which could then make the decisions, if they weren't run by Soros suck-ups, of whether or not to make arrests. As opposed to just saying, well, if they're far-left communists, they can do whatever they want. If they invade, they can do whatever they want. But if they dare to think there's a rule of law, well, throw the book at. No, throw them in the gulag and throw away the key. Finally, says Holman, regular readers know I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. I turned against him when he rolled out the militarized vaccine program with an injection that wasn't even a vaccine, and so forth and so on. And so he concludes, I'm done with Trump. I even think he could be a plant who's working for the other globalists. A la, remember this, folks, Emmanuel Goldstein, and this is a great parallel, from George Orwell's 1984. Big Brother was always after him. Turns out he was precisely what is now called controlled opposition. And I got to admit it, folks, when I see even the waste stream coming out and saying maybe they've gone too far when it comes to going after Trump, it means prepare for a change in Big Brother's strategy. And that'll do it for now. We're out of time. Thanks for being with us today. Think about what we are getting exposed to and what we are, well, we all know we're going to see. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.